Welcome back to Dark, Dangerous, and Deadly. I'm your host, Bridget. And last week, we covered the Saeed sisters, part one of it anyway. And I just kind of brought you up to the event that is about to take place. So if you didn't check out last week's, please go listen to that. It's good information to have. All right, let's get started. Now we're going to go into Christmas of 2007. Amina had texted Joseph and she let him know that her and Sarah ran away. But where they fucked up at was that they brought Sloppy Patty with them. So basically she told them that she's been wanting to leave him for a long time because of how horrible he's been, how abusive he's been to them, and all of this stuff. So they wanted to save her. And, like, they're better people than I am because she literally allowed all of the abuse to go on for so long. Like, I know how hard it is to leave an abusive relationship. But when it's just you by yourself, it's different. When your kids are involved and there's someone harming your children, that's where you kind of have to man up. So I'm sure people are going to judge me for that, but I don't really give a shit. So she allowed that. And for them to want to save her is just beyond me. She's never protected them at all. Like, not even one bit. But I digress. So they went to their Aunt Jill's house in Kansas. So they get to their Aunt Jill's house and she's like, you know, she's like cooking or something like that. And she's like, oh, you know, I don't have enough like little chips or something that she was adding. Would you mind like running to the store for me? So Sloppy is like, yeah, sure, I'll go, but everyone has to come with me. Now, at this point, it's Amina and Sarah, and then, like, her three friends or something are, like, there. I mean, the girls' friends are there. So they all get in the car. They all go to the store. They come back with the chips. And then, you know, Patty's like, oh, we're not staying here. We're leaving. So they left. Like, it was like that. Like, it was just like a stop-in kind of thing, like, I honestly think that it's because her family, like Patty's family, have been telling her, like, for the longest time to get away from him. They knew that the children were being abused and, you know, they kept trying to intervene. And I think at this point, even though she, quote unquote, was leaving her husband, I don't actually think that she was leaving her husband. Me personally, I think she went there to be a spy for him so that she could know exactly where the girls are and she could relay all of the information back to him so that he can do whatever it was that he wanted to do. Her alliance was never with her children. And that's my personal opinion. Someone may think that I'm wrong for that. I don't really care, but that's what it is. She had no plan at all to leave him. This was all just a big facade. And she knew that her family could see right through her. They knew what she was all about. So in order for her to be able to successfully get everything in motion the way that she wanted it to, she needed to get away from her family because she knew that they would intervene. So, while they were there, like, Amina and Sarah were talking to their Aunt Jill, and they were telling her, like, all the stuff that was going on, you know? And they told her, like, you know, if we go back home at this point, he's going to kill us. Like, they told their aunt about how he found like the love note and how he kicked her in the mouth and all that stuff. And mind you, later on in interviews, Patty's like, oh, that never happened. But I had no idea. I don't know what they're talking about, all this stuff. But Patty is there in the house when they're telling their aunt about this. And she says nothing. So if that wasn't true and the girls were lying, why wouldn't you say, like, that never happened? Why are you saying that? But she doesn't, because she knows what happened. She knows what he was doing to her children, and she just didn't care. She just did not care. And no one can tell me otherwise. So yeah. So now they go off and they find, I think they go to a hotel first, and then they wind up finding like an apartment. And they smashed their phones, they got new cell phones, like they've done all of this in like a whole day, one whole day, which is amazing. And they do all of that so that he has no way of tracking them. But, oh, you see, they didn't need, like, he didn't need the cell phones or any of that to track them. Because during this whole time, even with the new cell phones, Patty was still in contact with Yasser. Okay, so now, the next day, they officially, you know, sign the lease for the apartment. And they do this under an alias because, again, they don't realize that Patty is still in contact with Yasser. So they think that they're doing a great job with, like, covering their tracks and he's not going to be able to find them. But anyway, so it's not even a whole day, okay? Not even a whole day yet. And Sloppy is already, like, having second thoughts. She was telling her daughters how bad she felt about leaving. And then Islam was by himself now. And she was concerned about him. And I mean, lucky for Islam, because he had a father that doted on him and gave him everything that he wanted. And then a mother who was so concerned about leaving him there, but wasn't concerned about Emina and Sarah. Isn't that weird? So December 30th. Patty tells Emina and Sarah that she wants to go put flowers on her mother's grave back in Texas. Now, but this is the thing. She had no, like, so she says this, right? That she wants to do that and that they're gonna go visit the aunt and all that stuff. But she didn't have any of that planned because when they interviewed the aunt, and they asked her about that. She was like, I don't know. Like, that never happened. She never said that she was coming here. So once she gets the car, once she gets the girls in the car and they're already, you know, getting into Texas, she tells them, well, in reality, we're not going to do that. We're not going to go put flowers on my mother's grave. We're going to go back home to Yasser. And then she later denies this and states that they all talked to their piece of human excrement sperm donor and all agreed to, like, sing and skip all the way back to him, even though they ran away so he wouldn't kill them. And she apparently had this conversation with the girls and they agreed to go back. Yeah, you heard that right. They ran away, so their father wouldn't kill them. But then a few days later, they agree to go back because they felt bad. Okay, Patty. This is why we should bring back the electric chair. I think for certain things like this, the death penalty is perfectly great, but not like just, you know, lethal injection. Really, like, I don't want someone like this that goes to this extent of harming their children and murdering them, and then the person that, like, helps them do it, they should get the electric chair. They really should. But that's for another day. We'll discuss death penalty on another day. Okay, so now they're in Texas, and Emina is refusing to go back. She stays at her friend's house. And this is what is so confusing, because you're saying that you discussed this with the girls. They agreed to go back. They wanted to go back. And if that was the case, then why would Amina not go? Like, that makes no sense at all. So Amina winds up staying at her friend's house. Sarah goes back with Patty. And, you know, okay, I honestly, I don't really know what made Sarah go back. I think maybe she felt intimidated. Maybe, you know, Patty was able to manipulate her a lot easier than she could Amina. But, you know, either way, she goes back. Okay. Now, New Year's Eve. Okay. This is the next day. I'm sorry. Patty says that she tells the girls that her and Yasser are back together. Now, the girls already know. Now that they're back together, she's going to tell them, I mean, she's going to tell him everything. And, you know, he's already beat Amina so bad just from finding a love note. Never mind what he's going to do now that they both, like, that they ran away and that it's a, like, they know for certain that the girls have boyfriends and, you know, what their plans are. They know she's going to tell him everything, and they are terrified. And obviously for good reason. They know that he's dangerous. They know that he does not give a shit about them at all. And they also know that he wants to kill them. And this, they know that this right here is going to do it. They know that. Patty knows that. Oh. So, January 1st, Patricia begins calling Amina because now Amina is at her friend's house. So she's calling over and over and over, begging her to come home, calling her like it's urgent, you know, like one of those crazy fucking ex-girlfriends that just don't leave you alone. So, of course, sloppy, she denies this. But the thing about it is that, see, evidence doesn't lie, okay? And when they pulled her phone records, well, when they pulled, you know, the girl's phone records and, you know, everybody's phone records, they can see that that actually was happening. She was calling her back to back to back, leaving her multiple messages, texting her, having Sarah text her. Like, I'm sorry, but you're doing all of this. Again, you have no knowledge of what Yasser is going to do. You had no, you know, you had nothing to do with what happens next. Why were you so urgent for her to come home then? Again, why is this lady not charged with anything? So Amina was not giving in to Patty. And so what Patty does is she goes to where Amina is and she's like, you need to come home now. We're running out of time. We're running out of time for what? Oh, you mean running out of time for him to take them to kill to kill them. I get it. Apparently no one in law enforcement, no fucking judge thought, we're running out of time. This is what she's saying. But she had no knowledge. She's just so fucking innocent. Fucking disgusting scumbag. So, now, Amina and Sarah, Amina finally is like, all right, fine. I'm just going to go. And she, like, texts Joseph and she tells him what's going on. Like, she's kept him in the loop since they've gone back. And everyone's like, don't go. Like, don't go. And she's like, I have to do this. You know, like, she's not going to stop. She's not going to leave me alone. So they get home and Yasser is acting like really nice. Now, come on. This is the same man that kicked his daughter in the mouth, like embedding her fucking lips into her braces because he thought that she was writing a love note to a boy. He didn't even have any proof or anything. But they run away with said boyfriends, and now they come home and you're super nice? Weird. And it's weird that Patty didn't think that that was weird. So he says he wants to take them out to dinner so that they can talk. And then Patty supposedly says, oh, can I come too? And he says, no, this is just for the father and daughters. Yeah, because you've always been such a loving, caring father that wants to do such nice things for his daughters. This case really pisses me off. It really pisses me off. Not only did two beautiful young women die, but they die at the hands of their father that the mother knew was abusive, that the mother knew would kill them. And the mother had so many opportunities to get her children away from this man, and she didn't. And when they finally did get away, it was the mother that brought them back to the father, who winds up killing them. And that's what pisses me off. I don't see how she was not charged with anything. Maybe they believed her sob story. I don't know any person that has actually looked into this case that really believes her. No one believes her. So I would love to know what was going on that all of the people that had the ability to put her away, like, what was going on that made them think she's innocent? Yasser gets the girls in the taxi and he starts driving. He obviously did not bring them to a restaurant. He brought them to a hotel parking lot where he proceeded to shoot them and kill them. Amina was already dead when Sarah was able to get her cell phone out and call 911. The 911 receives the call, and Sarah says, help, my dad shot me, I'm dying. And then the dispatcher doesn't understand, apparently, and he says, what's going on, ma'am? She says, I'm dying, that's what's up. Then the dispatcher stutters a bunch before placing her on hold, which goes against protocol. I just want to put that out there. I don't know if this was his first day on the job, but you don't put someone who just said that they're shot and dying, you don't put them on hold, okay? You're never supposed to, like, he literally, like, put her on hold. Like, didn't just say, like, hold on and kind of, like, cover the phone or something. He put her on hold. So he could not hear anything else that was happening. Of course, it's still being recorded, but he's not hearing it. So what is the recording going to do at that point? You know, what if she's giving you information or she has information? You have no idea. But anyway, while she's on hold, you hear the car door open and Sarah say, oh my God, stop it, no. And then you can hear her moaning before she goes completely silent. That killed me. This, like, just listening to it, it's really going to get to you. So not only did their father shoot them, but then 911 fucks up. And then the police appealed to the Texas courts to seal the official report on the murders. When have you ever heard that? There's so many things here, and I'm going to point out a lot of them, and then I'm going to give you my opinion, and I would love to hear the rest of, you know, all of your guys. I would love to hear your opinions on this, because the way I'm seeing it, I want to know if other people are seeing it the same way. So they seal the official report, okay? And now, to me, that seems like very odd, for one. And it seems like maybe you have something to hide. And I'll get to that. Now, going back to the documentary, most of the information that, like, that people found out, that the rest of us in society found out about this, and more information that was uncovered through all of this, was because of Joseph's mother and the crew that were doing the documentary. They were the ones that were staking out the house. They were the ones that they were literally doing an investigation. Where were the cops? Who the fuck knows? Sitting on their ass. I don't know what the hell they were doing, but they were definitely weren't investigating. It was these people, the people that were producing the documentary and Joseph's mother, they were able to uncover all of the little missing pieces. That's bizarre. That, like, it really blows my mind that someone that wasn't even in law enforcement, has no background of law enforcement at all, could uncover so much information that law enforcement officials could not. Like I've said, I'm pretty sure I've mentioned it before, and anyone that knows me personally will tell you, I am a huge advocate for law enforcement. I have many members of my family are in law enforcement. I've had, you know, a great surrounding of friends and family, like, you know, friends of the family that are in law enforcement. I've been around a lot of amazing cops my whole life. So it's not that I just don't like law enforcement. I love them. But some of them can be bought. That's how I feel, personally. I think if you have enough money, there are just certain things that you can get away with, certain places that you can go, certain people that will help you that shouldn't, but will for the right price. And I am a strong believer that everyone has their price. So when you have a lot of money, you know, like a very wealthy family with a lot of connections, I think it's possible to have certain people maybe tip you off when someone's coming a little too close. And that's my honest belief. That's what I feel like. That's why they sealed the records. Because maybe there were people in law enforcement, that were mentioned, that maybe have ties to the family. I don't know. But I know that you don't seal a report unless there's something in that report that you don't want someone to see. So, 20 years after committing the senseless murder of Amina and Sarah Saeed, Yasser was captured. Now, he was captured, right? And the funny thing is that, so Joseph's mother had drove by this, like, one house, and she saw Yasser outside. And it was like a boarded up house that, like, looked abandoned, really. Now, this same house was being staked out later on, obviously, after she tipped off law enforcement and said, hey, I think you should go look here. They did. They saw the son, Islam, and then Yasser's brother going in with groceries, coming out with garbage. So, you know, they dug through the garbage. They found some stuff that they can pull DNA off of, pulled the DNA, and they were like, oh, it's Yasser. They go back over there. Oh, he's gone. Weird. So weird how that works out. It's almost as if he had someone in law enforcement tipping him off. I mean, I'm not saying that that's what happened, but I'm saying that that's what happened. So So when they finally do find him, they arrest him. Now, these are the things that really stuck out to me. So Patricia, right? She says that her and Islam haven't seen Yasser since 2008 after he shot the girls. And I don't really know too many people that picked up on her sentence, because when I read that and then I went and listened to the interview that they had with her, and she says that she really does say after. And that's interesting to me, because she claims that once that all happened, that that's it. He just disappeared. But you just stated that you talked to him after he shot your daughters. You didn't think to give anyone that information? I mean, maybe he could have been found sooner. Yeah, that's weird too, isn't it? So Yasser calls Yassin, I think that's his name, his brother, right after he kills his daughters. And he's on the phone with him for a long time. So he kills the daughters in his taxi. Okay, that's the way that he drives. That's his car. And then he's nowhere to be found. And he just so happens to call his brother and Patricia. Someone picked him up. He definitely wasn't going to be walking around. They would have seen him. Someone would have seen him. Someone picked him up. And if it wasn't his brother, it was definitely Patricia. I really believe that. Just seeing this bitch talk, you just see the lies oozing out of her. Oh, please, if you have any time, please go watch the documentary, The Price of Honor, because that is really going to put a lot of things into a really good perspective for you. So now we get to the funeral. Okay, now this, everyone's at the funeral. You have Amina and Sarah's coffins right next to each other. It's an open coffin. They actually have pictures of it online. And Joseph is there. He's sitting there, obviously. He's grieving the loss of his girlfriend that he was super in love with. And Islam gets up and he starts screaming at Joseph that this is all his fault and he needs to leave and he can't be there. And they start, you know, having a screaming match in the funeral home. And then like a bunch of guys come over and they tell Joseph, like, you have to leave. He doesn't want you here. You have to leave. So Joseph is made to leave his girlfriend's funeral, because the brother feels that it's his fault. It's not the father's fault, you know, for slaughtering the girls, because he had no problem going to visit his father and doing fucking food shopping for his father and, you know, protecting his father and hiding his father. Excuse me. But he wants to fight Joseph. That's that. Again, these people really have their fucking priorities straight. So then Patricia has the girls buried in this, apparently it's a Muslim cemetery, which this is another thing. He claims that this was an honor killing because he is Muslim or whatever. Muslims don't believe in honor killings. And I'm sure people are going to talk a whole bunch of shit about Muslims. But if you don't actually know the religion, I would strongly suggest that you don't comment on the religion unless you actually know it. Religion is just, this is something that like really interests me, different religions. But I think a lot of us, especially here in America, we perceive certain religions as good and bad because it's just drilled into us through Hollywood movies and through things that we see on the news and stuff like that. But a lot of the stuff that you see that is, quote, Muslim isn't. These are extremists that you're seeing in the movies. These are extremists that you're seeing, in the media and stuff, the way that Muslims are portrayed. They're portraying all Muslims like extremists. And that's very different. And I think we really need to learn that in this country. In America. And probably other places around the world as well. That's like saying all Christians are like a Westboro Baptist Church, which isn't a fucking church anyway, but it's like saying that they're the same. They're not the same. Not all Christians are fucking soldier-hating homo haters, you know, that think that certain people should just die because of who they are. That's the big difference there. So anyway, he is apparently Muslim. And Patricia wants them buried in a Muslim cemetery. This cemetery looks like someone wouldn't even put their pets there. It's just this rundown, disgusting. It looks like a dump. That's exactly what it looks like. That's where she wanted her kids. Now, supposedly, you know, she couldn't believe this. She hates him now and all this stuff. And why would you want them buried there then? Because you would be feeling like that the Muslim religion is why they were killed, right? You would believe that his beliefs and his religion and his background in this religion are why he felt the need to kill your kids. I know I sure in hell wouldn't. But then again, I wouldn't be a piece of shit like Patty. So, now, after the funeral, okay, and burying her children in this garbage dump, she moves in with Yasser's brother and his wife. Yeah. So the man that is on the run that killed your daughters, you move in with his family. Why? Why would you want anything to do with his family? Like, oh man. Oh my God, this makes me so angry. Breathe, breathe. Listen, I don't think I would look good, you know, in an orange jumpsuit, just saying. But I think there's certain things that, like, you know, you would do, right, as a parent or just as a good human being that might land you in jail. You know, maybe not a long stay, maybe a short stay. But I think I would happily go to jail for assault, for just picking up a nice big 2x4 and hitting this bitch in the fucking face with it. Like, I dream of it. This is what I would love to do. I would love to just hit her in the face with a 2x4. I mean, I'm not trying to kill her or, like, you know, I do want to just slap her really hard. And the hand won't do it. So a 2x4 maybe. You know, maybe that'll do it. Because, you know, I'm not trying to kill anybody. But I'm just saying. If I got the chance to hit this bitch with a fucking 2x4, I would probably take it. She's a piece of shit. I don't understand how. Like, again, I will say this a million times. I don't understand how she was never looked at as a suspect. She clearly is just so obsessed with this man that she would help him in any way. She still wants to be around his family. She wants her kids buried in this cemetery because these are all the things that she knows he would want. Why are you still trying to please the man that murdered your fucking children? I really, I don't get it. I really don't. oftentimes there are certain things that we see, whether it being with a family member or a friend or a coworker or a friend at school, that maybe we should say something or maybe we should make an effort to do something, and we don't, because we often think, well, it's not my problem, or I don't want to get involved, or, you know, whatever the case is. But these girls, if they would have just had one person on their side, they could have gotten away. You know, there was just really what they needed was their mother. They needed their mother on their side, and she wasn't. And it's a shame, because there's so many things in life that the rest of us will continue to do that these girls will never do. They're never going to get married. They're never going to have children. They're never going to have a career. They're never going to do any of those things. They're dead in the ground because of their own father and mother. I strongly believe that this whole thing was orchestrated. Not only did Yasser orchestrate it, but I do believe that Patricia helped with everything. I believe that that's why she was calling Amina over and over and over again, saying that she had to get home because it was urgent. I believe that Patricia wanted this just as much as Yasser did. But Yasser was the one to get his hands dirty. And Patricia is the one to sit there and act innocent and pretend that she didn't know what was going on and pretend that she didn't know what he was going to do. And I do believe that she knew where he was. And I believe that she probably even helped him to hide for as long as he did. 20 years. He hid for 20 years. How is that possible? Like, and he never even left Texas. He never left the United States. He was here the whole time under everyone's nose. I'm sorry, I meant 12 years. He was on the run for 12 years. He was caught in 2020. I think that's where I got confused at. But you see, he wasn't caught like super long ago. This was recent. This is recent that he was caught. It's just, I don't know. So this was the story. It was very sad, horrible, disgusting, soul-breaking story of Amina and Sarah Saeed. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Like I said, if you get a chance to go and watch The Price of Honor, I strongly suggest it. It was a great documentary. They really touch base, you know, showing the piece of shit that Patricia is. I want to say I just hit 500 plays, and I'm super excited about that. So I'm sure I'll probably look back at that later and be like, oh, wow, I was excited about 500 plays. But I'm very excited about 500 plays. That really is amazing that people are listening. So thank you to everybody. Also, thank you to everyone that has been following my Instagram is growing like crazy now. And I think like I have like almost 500 people, which I know. Okay, so when you see like big names, you're like, oh yeah, they have like millions, but there's 500 people that are following what I'm doing. That is bizarre to me. Also, I've gotten a lot of interactions on Facebook. I've gotten a lot more people following the Facebook. So I don't know if that's because of the Instagram or not. But if you're now following me on Facebook, let me know where you came from, because I want to know if it has to do with my Instagram or not. I try to post, like, I try to only post, you know, pictures of each episode. But yeah, I don't know if you guys, like, I really don't know what the whole Reels thing is. You know, I feel like an old woman. Like, I just don't know anything about social media. But I am trying to, like, boost my numbers everywhere so I can, like, get more plays. So let me know what, like, what platform, you guys are following me on the most, and, like, so that I know which one to put, like, a lot more effort into, because trying to manage, okay, so just trying to manage life and the podcast is, like, it's hard. So I'm trying to be able to put as much effort into whatever it is that most of my listeners are using. It doesn't mean that I won't be, you know, posting on, like, if it's Instagram, it's not like I'm not going to post on Facebook or vice versa. It's just, I'll try to give you more of the stuff that you want. Yeah, because that's the whole point that I sit here and punch all these things out. Is because I would like for people to enjoy what it is that I have to say. Also, if you guys can rate me wherever you are listening to the podcast, that would be really, really great. I'm really trying to get consistent. It's been really hard. You know, life happens. Things get crazy sometimes. So, but just know that I am really trying, like, very hard. Also, thank you to everyone that has given me more suggestions. I do have a lot of stuff that I'm working on right now, but it doesn't mean that I'm not going to do whatever cases you suggested. It just means, as of right now, I'm kind of booked on cases, but I do appreciate them and keep them coming, because I will just keep, you know, making a little list so I can do them later on. Also, make sure that you go and check out the merch store. That's new, and I put the link in on Instagram and on Facebook. I got a lot of nice stuff there. I'm waiting, people. I'm still waiting for some of you to give me the pictures of the merch that you bought so that I can post them. So this is your official public reminder to send me those pictures. If you bought merch, send me those pictures. I will post them on my Instagram and I will post them on Facebook. If you have a picture and you decide to post it, just tag my podcast in it, so that everyone else can see them and they can see, you know, how it looks. Maybe you'll get somebody else to want to buy some. I think it's awesome that people even want to buy my merch, so that's great. But yeah, thank you guys for listening. And I hope to hear from you guys soon. Thanks. Love ya.